This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Thursday, 22nd of June, 2023. Another negative day for markets as we continue to consolidate after that big run higher in the U.S. equity market. And unlike yesterday, where we noted those big exuberant pockets of speculative activity, things like Tesla and some of the AI names jumping aggressively yesterday. Yesterday, we sort of saw the opposite, at least in the case of Tesla. I noticed a big ugly engulfing sell-off day. I think one of the interesting things, and you can take us through the baskets, Peter, but I know you have the next slide on this. I just happened to look over the VIX, wondering what it was doing, and very oddly closing in a new cycle low yesterday, despite, the third or fourth day of equities consolidating here.
Yeah, it's rather unusual behavior, but nevertheless, that is what we saw yesterday. And as you correctly say here on slide three here, you can see that's the difference, your futures contract difference on the actual points, right? So between the second contract and the spot index itself, the VIX index. So right now you can see we're in a contango because there is a positive spread between the second futures contract and the VIX index itself. So right now it's just below 4 points difference there. And what is I think you can take away from this chart is that you don't have any big blow up in volatility, and we've had, you can see that, John, in the last period here, I think it may be seven, 8 months now with almost no setback, so backwardation, pure contango, and it has a resemblance of really, you know, the period we had in 2017 and 2021, where you have this very compression of volatility, implied volatility, and expectations, and strong momentum in the market. And we know that can carry for a long time, but it will set itself up for a setback. And I don't know whether that setback is just now. I think this whole AI, relative to the expectations that have been built into equity markets, will not really change much until we get the Q2 earnings releases, which is in late July, early August. We need to see these companies fail to live up to these high expectations that are priced into the market, and then we can begin talking about, I think, a U.S. equity market that will correct potentially.
A very cynical take on why yesterday, in particular, saw a bit of a sell-off in AI was a Financial Times article on Masayoshi Son of SoftBank saying he's ready to go, quote unquote, go on the counteroffensive and go all in on AI. They're sick of being on the defensive here. That's a rather a cringing take on that. But
and actually, on that note, we should not forget that SoftBank is sitting on a golden egg in the semiconductor industry, Arm Holdings.
Right.
So Arm Holdings, the IPO, is going to go through this year, will be the biggest IPO in several years, and was the company that NVIDIA wanted to acquire. If they had been allowed to do that, the Chinese regulator said, no, this is not going to happen. I think Europe and the US would have said the same thing. A lot of interesting IP and patents are sitting in Arm Holding. It's this royalty model. So if you want to build a specific semiconductor and you wanted to do something very specific, then it often is the case that Arm Holdings is holding the IP for doing a specific thing, so you have to pay them royalties to do this specific chip. So they already have their exposure to AI indirectly through this Arm Holdings because it's such a key company and something we will be talking about when we get closer to that IPO.
Okay, interesting stuff. And total change of direction, no good segue, but just want to flag it, and hopefully we'll have an update tomorrow if Ola is around for the podcast on the commodity side, and that is the grain complex, galloping rises in all three of the grains now, really joining this rally lately. And you can see on the longer-term perspective, it doesn't look terribly impressive yet, although corn is getting towards the higher end of the multi-month range and even one-year range there. As you can see on slide four, all of the grain complex, corn, wheat, soybeans, rallying strongly. We have this new climate shift, or not climate shift, but this new climate pattern, El Nino, kicking into gear for the first time in a long time, and it's bringing some very significant disruptions. So this could put inflation, certainly food inflation, back on the radar. But we'll get an update from Ola tomorrow. I just think it's something that bears watching as a something that triggers risk if this continues on anything like this recent pace. And now moving swiftly forward to FX, where it is a big day for central banks. We've been talking about this. S&P up this morning. They only hiked 25 basis points. The Norges Bank, I'll be updating that in 3 minutes when they announce their decision. finally balanced the market observers between whether they go 25 or 50. And the Bank of England is the really big one today. We've already previewed this. I won't talk too much about it because by the time many of you are listening to this, they'll have already made the decision. But a tough task there. It's kind of interesting to note there's that 150 basis points already priced in, that the pattern has shifted a little bit towards pricing in maybe the 50 today, but a full 50, if they don't hike 50 today, a full 50 priced for the next meeting. So do they meet and clear the bar of expectations here, of course, is the critical question. And does that feed into sterling one way or the other? Just a massive, the stakes are massive here. Their forecast from March, you know, it's so incredible that they're forecasting this 2% inflation by the end of 2024, when all that has happened since then is two huge accelerations in the core rate. I put up Uranaki as a chart. It's quite compelling. The bear case here, just for risk reward wise, we sort of retraced about half of that sell off. It's a topping formation, but for it to be a topping formation, you need to get something coming in that supports Nokia here to drive it lower. That would be, of course, the Norwegian Central Bank, the Norse Bank, getting more serious, at least on the guidance, if not going 50 today, and oil prices and some of the cyclical indicators also beginning to point back higher. Finally, on this slide, I would just note extremely heavy action in the precious metals. Gold, a little bit less so. It did sell off yesterday, new multi-month low. It just sort of managed to avoid that and come back up into the range, if not very convincingly. But silver just coming unglued and testing its 200-day moving average. And we'll get Ola updating us on the drivers there. All right, Althea, we need to talk about the treasury market and the bond market here. This inversion continuing to get more profound, and we're getting towards the lows of the cycle on the inversion. And you have to get the really long-term view here to see what the last time we were at these types of inverted yield curve levels.
Yes, I put the U.S. Treasury yield curve and the German yield curve on slide number 6. And what we can see is that the U.S. Treasury curve is the most inverted since the 80s, and the German yield curve is the most inverted since 1992. Obviously, what's happening here is that bond market is convinced that central bankers cannot hike further to tame inflation, and if they continue to hike that aggressively, they might provoke a recession. But we had quite an interesting call with our CIO, Stine Jacobsen, in the morning, and he was saying, well, what if central bankers are not wrong, that inflation needs to be curbed further, and we are going to see rate hikes more than the market expects. And well, if that's the situation, then we are going to see yield curves inverting further around the globe. And we can take as a point of reference the 80s in the US, where we have seen the yield curve inverting and bouncing back several times before steepening. The steepening started. So we might be in that territory at the moment.
All right. And then we, as we focus on the Bank of England today, and you've shown us this yield curve, the 2 years before here in the UK, it was interesting with that super hot inflation level. We noted this a little bit yesterday. The market was a little bit reluctant to price too much in because so much is in the forward price, and sterling actually consolidated lower despite an incredible beat there. So what do you think, both the yield curve-wise, I suppose that the risk for the UK is a lot to do on the currency side as much as the rate side, if the market feels like the Bank of England is not getting credible here? Or is it also at the longer end of the curve more than necessarily the two-year? What's your take?
Well, the big problem here, John, I believe that the Bank of England is a sandwiched in between the Federal Reserve and the ECB. So it's sandwiched in between two very hawkish central banks. And today, it cannot afford to sound any less hawkish than these peers. So it's going to be extremely difficult for Bailey to maybe hike 25 basis points and then to sound very hawkish. The market can pull back on this notion at any time. So I decided to put again, because I put in several other podcasts, the slide of two-year gilts yields, because this week they broken above 5%. They are now holding above this level, but realistically, If we have a very hawkish Bank of England, they will find support next at 5.5%. But we have to remember that last year, the Bank of England wrote a report saying that it was reluctant to arrive at 5% in interest rate hikes because it was identifying 5% to be a problematic level for the financial system. So it's going to be very interesting today how Bailey is going to phrase around this level and what's the future expectations for the central bank.
And they've shown constant reluctance to do the hiking that is necessary to get ahead of inflation. And so it would require a change of tune. It required that they take some responsibility and stop doing things like pointing fingers. So a very high stakes again. So just as we were talking there, as you were talking there, we have the Norges Bank out, and they did hike the 50 basis points. I think that was appropriate. They had also some very hot core inflation readings the last time around. And I see Jørn-Åke down below or towards 11.55, a full percentage rally there. So we'll discuss the guidance a bit tomorrow. But Peter.
Yeah, and while you're talking there, I was reading the actual statement from the Central Bank in Norway. And what is interesting here is that, you know, almost like a little bit of a game theory here, they're saying that the pricing pressure in the economy has moved to a level that is significantly higher than what they anticipated just 6 months ago. They see that the wage pressures and dynamics and the labor market is more tighter than they had expected. And they're saying that the weak kroner is also adding to the price pressures in the economy. And they're actually saying, this is an interesting statement, they said it can become more costly to get the inflation down again if we don't move more aggressively. So I just... to me, when we discussed it on the podcast yesterday, this whole idea that looking at the PPIs and goods inflation, I mean, you can kiss it goodbye. It's not what it's about right now with the inflation. It's about the labor market, the wage dynamics, what is happening in the services. And I really like, Steve and I, we had a conversation when I was driving home from work yesterday. I really like this picture. So inflation is like this hydro dam where you have a crack. And as soon as the crack opens and the water pours out, is very, very difficult to contain it again. It's just a dynamic that feeds on itself.
And then you have things like some have argued that in the case of the UK, for example, you have so many people that are on pensions, et cetera, and you have these triple lock adjustments that happen. Well, inflation's high. Well, then your pension, social security payments or whatever, of course, the UK equivalent is, will adjust higher with that inflation. It happened in the US last year. Every retiree sitting in a home that they've already paid for, they have 9% more per month to pay.
As we have talked about before, when interest rate levels go up a lot, you can actually consume more of your capital, because if you had $100 million at a very, very low interest rate at close to 1%, you only had a passive income of $1 million. Mm. When the interest rate goes to 5%, you have $5 million. So you can actually consume $50 million on whatever you want and still have more passive income. So interestingly enough, you can actually have more consumption pouring into the economy. And we know we have the largest amount of wealth sitting among elderly people in Europe and the US. Yeah. And with these high interest rates, they don't have to save as much any longer or be as passive on consumption, because suddenly their passive income is just going up.
Yeah, but suddenly, of course, some of that is psychological, obviously. If prices are going up, the real value of their savings is going down. So that some of that passive income needs to be saved to compound. The psychology, it doesn't always work that way. But okay, let's get back to day-to-day markets here. Stocks to watch today. Peter, where's your focus?
Well, we have two stories to highlight today. So the first one is Volkswagen, Germany's largest car maker, Europe's largest car maker, I think the second largest in the world. They released yesterday an updated target. So they're maintaining 5-7% revenue growth until 2027. Their long-term goal for 2030 on the net profit margin, they've raised that to 9-11% range. They have always been sitting a little bit below the competition. Stellantis from Italy is one competitor that is able to generate a higher net profit margin. And Volkswagen had 8% in their previous annual report. And what's interesting is that they're putting out this target while they're rolling out all these EVs with a lot of CapEx going into the business. And right now, price points on EVs that are higher than the old ICE cars, and so I just find it fascinating. But the stock is actually down 2%, and I think it was in that statement and the talk that the CEO did, where they talked about the problem of the structure of the group, There is too much centralized decision making. They're moving too slow against the new entrants in the industry, Tesla and BYD. I think the market got that sense that, you know, they're quite nervous in at Volkswagen's management group. And they what they're doing now is they're trying to decentralize the decision making. So Audi, the Volkswagen brand, and the Skoda brand are going to, going forward, be able to do cost decisions and pricing decisions more, you know, autonomously.
Yeah, and I just to flag it as well. I mean, there are other German automakers, Mercedes and BMW, and some of the tech I'm seeing, some of the tech ideas and battery technologies I'm seeing thrown around from Mercedes. I think I sent one to you on Twitter the other day. Some solid state batteries that are supposedly moving forward. This stuff was considered undoable just recently. So I mean, this space is just galloping in the next few years.
And I
think it's just going to be people don't realize how fast this transition will happen to EVs.
And what does it mean for what does it mean for oil money and the Middle East? I mean, I know I'm going a little off a tangent here, John, but this massive investment spree that Saudi Arabia is on, it's just colliding with pressure on their budgets and the weak oil price and this massive transition that technologically is moving faster than we thought imaginable was just 2-3 years ago. Yeah. I just find that very interesting. Anyway, coming back to business, agribusiness stocks, as I said in the beginning of the podcast, are one of those that are moving fast. This month alone, that's what you can see here on slide 8, they have outperformed the MSCI World Index. So agribusiness stocks are storage stocks like Bunch. You have Corteva and Nutrien, which are not the crops and seeds business. You have fertilizer stocks. You have Deere. The whole industry, the whole sector is just moving higher here. And I'll be writing an equity note on this sector from the equity side of things, and then hopefully Ole will join the game here and write something on the commodity futures.
And as you pointed out yesterday, we won't dwell on it further, but I'm really looking forward to that Darden Restaurants report today. I think it's before the market opens.
Before the market opens,
yeah, yes. Because there's so much talk of this recession's incoming now, and you'd have to see that in sort of casual dining behavior, I would think. But anything else you want to highlight on for either for today or tomorrow?
Now, we also have Accenture. I think Accenture is reporting before the market opens as well. And as you, I think you pointed it out in our quick take, which you can read every morning, where we go through all the markets. Accenture is more on the implementation side. It's a consulting IT services consulting company. So if you're a medium sized business and you don't have the internal resources to, you know, pull AI related features off the shelf from Google or Microsoft and implement it in your business, you can go to Accenture and they can help you do that. So just curious to see what they're saying in their earnings release and especially on the outlook. Are they seeing an increase, you know, demand for their IT services on the consultancy side from this AI rally?
Yeah, AI just crops up almost everywhere. Maybe not in Darden Restaurants, but who knows? Let's look at the macro calendar. I'm not going to highlight these central banks again. The full menu is there. Turkey, again, expected with a supersized hike. Interesting to see how the market treats the lira in the wake of that. The market has been very reactive and twitchy around the last couple of weekly initial claims data. Again, everyone wanting to pounce on the incoming recession or not. Theme when these claims come out, I think you really need to take a 4 to 6 week moving average there. And existing home sales will be very low. It's at the very low end of the range, as we discussed yesterday. People not willing to move because they're sitting on these sweet 3 to 3.5% mortgages that they put out during the pandemic. So they're only moving by necessity. And then Fed Chair Powell, there was really nothing to talk about in his testimony. Could be a little bit more interesting today, a little bit of spicy rhetoric from what's her name? Elizabeth Warren. There we go. Elizabeth Warren, the senator, always likes to dig into what the Fed is doing. So interesting if he has to get on the defensive there.
Yeah, and also on the calendar, it's not actually not there, but it is there, is the U.S. leading indicators. We should have highlighted that as well, of course, because that is one of those indicators that have been pulled out as like having a flawless predictive power on U.S. recessions like the U.S. yield curve. And you and I have been talking about these U.S. leading indicators from the conference board in the U.S. It's been screaming recession for so long. And if you take the annualized rate on the past 6 months, changes in the leading indicators, it's -8%. It's like levels we saw during the great financial crisis of 2008. And here we are. I mean,
But I still think there's the risk that so much of this is whipsawing from both the huge dip and then the massive, sort of like this floodgate analogy you have this washing, this huge liquidity wave and growth impulse wave that washed in and out, and there's just still echoes of this ebbing and flowing and waving like a wave function into the economy. That's the risk. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we are hitting a recession next month. But yeah, I think there's so many distortions that happen because of those patterns. All right, swiftly on, national index, national CPI from Japan could get interesting for the Japanese yen. It is a ways off till that late July Bank of Japan meeting. Nonetheless, curious to see what that prints. It's been going nowhere but up, the inflation levels in Japan. All right, that is a wrap for today, and we'll see where things stand with the Bank of England and otherwise, and be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.